speak from here. It's easier for me. Isaiah, once again, gives us a beautiful message, doesn't he, of good news. It's real, uncontainable, wild excitement in what he says, full of healing and favour and comfort, and leading to a restoration of the things that previously have been ruined. How pertinent that sounds right now. This is God's promise to us, his wonderful, wonderful promise to us, these wonderful words of hope and expectation. Savour these words. Now, you don't have a copy of them. In a lot of the places that I'm in at the moment, we give people a copy of the words to save giving out Bibles and all that sort of thing. So I say, take it home and stick it on the fridge. Take this home, metaphorically, if nothing else, stick it on the fridge. When it really feels bad, remember what Isaiah said. Now, in fact, I've been doing some evening complines, and one of the things that we've been doing through Advent is to look at Stephen Cottle's little book called Walking Backwards to Christmas. Has anybody read it? Wonderful. It's worth reading. He puts words into the mouths of all sorts of characters, or the people, and it sort of leads back to Christmas. It's very clever. This is what he thinks Isaiah would be saying. And so in the midst of all that is wretched, with calamity all about me, with my voice like the voice of a madman, naked and soft of foot upon the hard earth, and with no one to listen, and with the coming certainty of utter hopelessness, darkness and despair all about me. We recognise that, don't we? I sing out. I sing out with joy to the generous and mighty God who will shed his light upon the world. And I say back to the world, for this is the task God has given me, arise, shine, for your light will come. And the glory of God will rise upon you. For though darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people, the light of the glory of God will rise up and God's glory will appear. Nations will come to this light and king will come to the brightness of this new dawn. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of God. God's peace will oversee the world. The Prince of Peace, the one whose coming will be light and joy, and violence shall be no more, nor devastation, nor destruction. To which we say, Hallelujah. God is coming. And then centuries later, John the Baptist is asked whether he is that one. No, he says, I'm not. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, get ready, make straight the way of the Lord. I am not that one. He is already among you, but you don't know him. So you see, we are part of God's plan because it's for us to be making things ready. When John was born, his father, Zechariah, said, and you'll recognize these words from the Benedictus, and you, child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. And that's instruction, that promise is for all of us, as Jesus' teaching obviously reiterates in, you see it again and again in the Gospels. We are part of preparing a way for him. We are needed and wanted in this task, no matter who we are, no matter what we are, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. We all have a part to play in preparing the way. We're asked in the first place to prepare the way for God to enter and be part of our lives. And that is very much what Advent is for, isn't it? To make room for him, to clear out some of the clutter that preoccupies us and keeps us from spending time with him, and by reassessing our priorities so that Jesus is preeminent in our lives. But that instruction is actually about more than ourselves. We are also asked to clear the way for others to see God. Do you remember when Jesus famously and indignantly told the disciples not to stop little children coming to him? He said, do you remember, let them come and do not hinder them. Because whether we mean to or not, we can be quite good at hindering people when they seek to find Jesus. Clearing the path means making it possible to see Jesus. And remember that promise, that statement of John, he is here all around us. We don't recognize him. We need to enable other people to recognize Jesus in our society. We need to remove the obstacles that get in the way. Roads in Jesus' times were not exactly motorways. They were rough tracks. They had boulders and landslips and wild animals and thieves getting in the way as you journeyed from one place to another. Tracks would go round the mountains and hills and other obstacles. I'm always impressed. I love watching things about trains, do you? There's lots on at the moment. If they have an obstacle to go through in Switzerland or whatever, they just do a tunnel straight through the middle. We have to be the ones that sort of do the tunnel sometimes, that clears the path so that others can see God in their lives and at work. We have to smooth those ups and downs and get rid of the obstacles and straighten the detours, as it were, and not put any new ones in the way by virtue of what we manage to say or do. I don't need to relate you with stories of things that have happened like that. Keep the pathway open, says John and says Jesus. And we can't just do nothing. Gardeners amongst us will know bindweed and brambles will soon take over if we neglect it. And it's worth pondering, as I know you do, what we can do to create new paths and to keep the paths open for the people around us in our society, especially right now. Food banks, which I know you deal with. In fact, Colin and I were in the one in Shipston, which is a food bank, as opposed to what you have out there, which is for the schools. But I know you're dealing with food banks as well. It is extraordinary, isn't it, how many people come to us for that reason. It is opening a path because it needs to be opened to see Jesus in our midst. Nothing overt, but it is seeing Jesus operating in our society. Do we create paths with pastoral care? Online Alpha courses or whatever? In our conversations with those we meet? Do we actively manage to open up that path? We don't have to speak the words of the gospel at every encounter, but can we speak in a way that Jesus would have spoken? Speak of justice and love and mercy and compassion with those that we meet. All of these things, and it is a pity that we can't go around with a microphone, because I'd love to ask all of you, how do we open a path for the people around us to see Jesus? Perhaps most of all, though, we should be a bit Isaiah-like and shout aloud from our own experience about the coming of Christ, who will bring joy to those who have never before experienced it in their own lives. We shout from our own experience about the faithfulness of God, creator, redeemer, and bringer of joy. We live lives that rejoice at what he has done and what he will do. Amen.